What's up, Raider Nation? Matt Holder here from Silver and Black Pride to bring you another episode of the Holder's Handful podcast. I was in the press box yesterday for the Raiders-Niners game, so of course I'll be giving you my takeaways from that game, but I'm going to change things up a little bit for you guys this week. I'm going to focus a little bit more on some potential surprise cuts so you guys can get a little bit mentally prepared for cut down day tomorrow in case we see any shockers or any surprises. And I'm going to spend a little bit less time on the takeaways since, let's be honest, yesterday's game was a true preseason game, we'll put it that way, where not a lot of Raiders starters played. A lot of the Niners starters ended up playing. We'll get to that in a second. But not a whole lot to glean on going forward. So we'll pay a little bit more attention to the biggest news story of the week, which is, of course, going to be cut down day. Other than that, let's get to it. I'm going to start things off talking about Gerald McCoy, who I thought was really the most impressive Raiders defender by far. And at times, he kind of looked like the only guy that really belonged on the field. But I'm going to start things off by taking a step back for a second. You know, when the Raiders signed Gerald McCoy, you know, I'll be honest, I was a little skeptical about it. You know, he's a 33-year-old guy coming off a major injury and a ruptured quad last year. You know, obviously reached the injury settlement with the Cowboys and didn't end up playing at all. And then when they brought him in, you know, I remember Rod Marinelli talking about, you know, him being, or McCoy having the twitch and the quickness and everything. It looked like he was kind of, you know, back to his old self. And I kind of took that as this is like training camp, coach speak and whatnot. But I'll tell you, yesterday, he was as advertised and he shut me up right away. And I don't mean to say this is like I didn't like the signing, because I mean, I thought it was a good signing at the time being, you know, being in mid-August, I think was when they brought him in a few weeks into training camp. And obviously the Raiders needed some help at defensive tackle. But yeah, McCoy was as advertised. Everything the coaching staff had been saying, he looked quick, he looked explosive, he was getting off the ball. Even when the 49ers starters were in, he was still getting penetration. I thought he did really well as a pass rusher and as a run defender. I mean, there was the one play against near the goal line against Trey Lance where he just blew up the trip play or whatever the jet sweep it looked like the Niners were trying to run and ended up forcing a field goal for him. And I mean, again, like to see a guy who was coming off a major injury and a major leg injury and still look explosive and still kind of look back like he was kind of his old self, really. I mean, obviously not quite an all pro. I don't want to give him that sort of distinction after beating up on what was mainly the 49ers second string after, you know, the first quarter or whatnot. And I think he's going to be the guy that ends up starting for the Raiders at the three tech. You know, Quentin Jefferson has played this preseason, and I can tell you, you know, maybe I can probably count on one hand the times he really stood up or popped off the tape. And I'll tell you, yesterday, Gerald McCoy was absolutely flying off the page. And I know some people are going to go watch the box score and tell me, oh, he didn't have any tackles. But that didn't matter for as much of his impact that he had. And I mean, he talked about it in his press conference. He's getting ready to go for the preseason opener. I'll tell you this, he looked pretty damn ready. And I'm excited. I'm fired up to see what he can do this year. All right, next guy I'm going to talk about is going to be Devery Hamilton. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I'm sure you guys are tired of me talking about the Raiders' fourth offensive tackle position, and I'm sure I've talked about it way too much than it really matters, but as you guys know, it's been a point of emphasis for me this preseason, and I think a point of weakness for the Raiders this preseason, and I was hoping that signing or re-signing, bringing back, however you want to call it, Devery Hamilton would be a solution to that problem, but it absolutely wasn't. There were two plays or a sequence of plays that really stuck out in my mind of the game yesterday. And there was one, it was a second down, where he gets bull rushed back into Nathan Peterman's lap. And Nathan Peterman has to get rid of the ball quickly. I think probably went incomplete. Nathan Peterman didn't play well either. And then the next play, he gets beat around the edge, and Peterman has to scramble, and the Raiders end up punting. And, you know, if I'm Tom Cable and I'm sitting there, I'm like, at the end of the day, this guy is going to be the fourth tackle, or whoever's going to be the fourth tackle. He's not going to be a perfect player, right? I can take it if, you know, he's got a strong anchor and he just doesn't have the foot speed to get back to, so I need to give him some help against, you know, those speed rushers. Or I can take it the other way around where the guy's got, you know, can fly back there, but maybe not the strongest anchor in the world. I can work with that, right? I can't work with somebody that doesn't have either. And I mean, at the end of the day, like, I'll get to this when we're talking about surprise cuts, but I don't know what the Raiders are going to do with that position, and I wouldn't be surprised if they end up keeping three. I'll leave that as a little teaser for you guys. Moving on to Dylan Stoner, which, best name on the team, by the way, and I will say this, I've been on Dylan Stoner being a great name since his like freshman days at Oklahoma State, so I'll go ahead and take credit for that. But anyway, I thought Stoner was by far the most impressive player on the Raiders offense, probably the only one that really stood out, maybe Trey Ragus. He had a few nice runs and some nice catches and whatnot. But Stoner, to me, was by far the best player on offense yesterday. And I tell you, he picked one hell of a time to have his best game of the preseason. He ended up finishing with 3 catches for 69 yards on 6 targets. And the one that really stood out to me was, I think, a back shoulder throw up the sideline against Demondre Lenore for the Niners, who Demondre Lenore was having an excellent preseason, was getting raved about during training camp. And that was the second catch Lenore had allowed all preseason, and it was by far the longest. I think the one he allowed was like 1 catch for 6 yards. And that was a hell of a play by Stoner. Like I said, perfect timing for him to have a great game. Obviously, you know, going into this week when I was doing my roster projections, you know, I kind of just glazed over his name as somebody that's probably going to get cut, probably going to be a practice squad guy. But I'll tell you what, when I went back to revisit it and kind of before I published it today on Silver and Black Pride, I had to stop on Stoner's name for a second and think about it. I'm not 100% convinced that he's done enough to make the roster. I think it'll depend on practice. And I think I saw that, or I think I heard that DJ Turner might have came up a little bit gimpy at the end of the game. So maybe that plays a factor too. But I really do think it comes down between Stoner and Turner for the last wide receiver spot. And special teams is going to be the difference. I know Stoner did take some kick returns yesterday, but to be honest with you, he's done that a few times in the preseason. Hasn't really looked impressive. And Turner hasn't been, you know, outstanding by any means either, but I think he has a little bit more value on there. I think he's a little bit better athlete, so he might end up getting the nod over Stoner. But a hell of a game for him nonetheless, and I think if he does make the roster, we can point to yesterday's game as the big reason why, and probably the main reason, to be honest with you, because it was a pretty quiet preseason for him for the most part. But hats off to the guy for having his best game when it mattered the most. And, you know, hopefully it works out for him. We'll see how these next 2 days come about. But I think he definitely earned a spot on the practice squad. And I think he definitely moved ahead of Keelan Doss on the depth chart after yesterday. So we'll see what happens. The next thing I want to talk about has more to do with scheme than any sort of individual player or anything like that. And that's that the 49ers basically had their way whenever they wanted to run any sort of read option or inverted veer, basically any sort of option that involved the quarterback, especially when they ran it with Trey Lance. It felt like the 49ers could kind of get whatever they wanted when they ran those plays. It didn't really seem like the Raiders were holding up much resistance, and it seemed like guys weren't really sure how to defend it. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying I understand it was the second string. That kind of stuff happens, you know, obviously with the starters in there. It's similar to what we were talking about last week with the Rams offense being able to kind of dink and dunk their way down the field. You know, starters get it in, things can be different. But what was concerning to me was a few guys looked lost. And again, maybe you can chalk that up to youth and inexperience. But there were guys that were being left unblocked as the read man and kind of stuck in no man's land. And again, the 49ers kind of moved their way down the field whenever they wanted to run those plays. And guess what's going to happen on Monday Night Football in the season opener? Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are going to come in and start running a bunch of read options and inverted veers and take advantage of Lamar's legs. So that's why I'm a little concerned about it. You know, again, starters in there, maybe it's a different story. Maybe guys are more disciplined. But from what I'm seeing, and obviously I'm just reporting on what happened in the game, I wasn't terribly confident. I'm not terribly confident heading into Monday Night Football that the Raiders exactly know what they're doing, whereas if they were able to just shut it down with the twos, you know, I think I talked about this in week one with the defense playing better, if they're shutting it down with twos, if they're doing with the twos, then I can safely assume that the ones are doing that, but that works the other way as well, too. It's like, again, I'm not going to be sitting here like, oh, the Raiders are going to get killed on Monday night because they couldn't stop the 49ers in a preseason game, but it's a little concerning when I'm sitting here thinking the best running quarterback in the NFL is going to be coming into Las Vegas on Monday Night Football, and I just watched a rookie carve him up using a lot of the same schemes. Hopefully we see some improvement with those starters in there, like I keep saying, but it was not a comforting sign for me. Hopefully you guys can talk me off the ledge a little bit, let me know how wrong I am in the comment section or something, but not exactly what I was hoping to see from the Raiders yesterday in that department. The last player I'm going to talk about is going to be Amik Robertson, and it's not necessarily for what he did specifically yesterday, but just because he's had a great preseason, I feel like I need to give him a little bit more love than I have been. Now, I think we all know what happened last year, right? He was learning a new position, and then he struggled. He saw it on the field, the coaching staff talk about it. I mean, it was just an ugly year for him, and it looked like a little bit too much for him. But this year, he's gone out there. Coach Gruden's talked about it. I've noticed it. Plenty of other people have mentioned it as well. And he's just looked a lot more comfortable on the outside, taking some reps more on as an outside corner. And yesterday he did play a little bit of nickel too, but obviously Nate Hobbs is kind of the headliner there, and that's not necessarily where Amick's future is. But anyway, I thought he had another fantastic game. I think one of the biggest things for Amick that was an issue last year that he's shown a lot of improvement from in the preseason is going to be tackling. Last year he missed a ton of tackles, especially for how little he played. And then this year he didn't miss a single one, ended up finishing with 12 total tackles. So he's a guy that I'm really excited about. I think he's going to add a lot of depth to this cornerback position for the Raiders and in a position where they could kind of use it. So I think it's really good to see his growth and development this year, especially in this preseason. I mean, he ended up only allowing 44 receiving yards, which is great. Did allow quite a few completions, but at the end of the day, if you're making the tackles and whatnot and keeping people away from first downs, that's all that really matters. And I mean, I honestly think Robertson could probably further down the line, maybe midseason or even later, end up taking Damon Arnette's spot as that third cornerback. And that's not to say that Arnette has played poorly this preseason. I just think Robertson's played that well, and I've loved what I'm seeing from him. You know, obviously the future will tell everything, and we'll see how that goes during the regular season. But fantastic three games for the guy. I'm really happy for him, and hopefully he ends up being a guy that the Raiders can count on down the line, because I'll tell you what, the Raiders could use some help at corner. All right, we're going to pivot to surprise cuts, and I'm going to give you one for each position group. And as a reminder, these cuts are supposed to be surprises, so if you see something you don't agree with, I completely understand that. And I'm not trying to say that these guys are going to get cut. I'm really just trying to kind of give you guys a little bit of a mental preparation for tomorrow in case we see something that we didn't quite expect. And we'll start things off at the quarterback position. Now, I think this one should be pretty straightforward. Derek Carr obviously isn't going anywhere. Marcus Mariota, well, apparently the reason why they didn't play him in the preseason was because they were holding him out for the regular season. So obviously those two guys are pretty well safe. The one that's going to be in question is going to be Nathan Peterman. Now, I'm a little conflicted here because every year of the Gruden 2.0 era, the Raiders have kept three quarterbacks on the roster, including last year when they had the expanded practice squad and Nathan Peterman was on the squad. So I'm not 100% sure that Nathan Peterman will get cut. I feel like he might be safe if we're counting the numbers and basing it off the history. But I do think there's a legit chance that Nathan Peterman gets cut. And I think what the Raiders can do, if they're smart, what they'll do is they'll cut him. And hopefully he doesn't want to leave. And hopefully, you know, everything's going good with the organization and he wants to stay. And then they can sign him back and sign him on the practice squad. And with the NFL's practice squad rules this year, you can call up a player up to 90 minutes before game time. So Peterman can still serve as that emergency quarterback if the Raiders need him in a pinch and be on the practice squad where he's not holding up a roster spot for somebody else, which when we get into linebackers, you know, the numbers might not work out in a lot of people's favors. And I think can add some more flexibility for them to keep somebody else elsewhere. You know, the other option is if we're talking about the third string quarterback and Nathan Peterman, you know, wants to move on somewhere else and you cut him, I'm sure they can find another quarterback that's just as capable and put him on the practice squad. So I think Nathan Peterman could be on the outside looking in. It just kind of depends on what your perspective is. Are you going to take it from what Gruden's done in the past in the last 3 years? Or are you going to take the context of this situation where the Raiders could use extra bodies at a position like linebacker and they're going to save that roster spot? At running back, I don't think this is necessarily a surprise anymore because a lot of other people have talked about it too, but I think it could be Jalen Richard. Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake aren't going anywhere, right? I think Trey Ragus has had an excellent preseason. Like I said earlier, I think he had a great game yesterday. I think he's firmly on the team. And I think with Jalen Richard, he's obviously missed basically all of training camp. I mean, he might have practiced one, maybe 2 days this entire summer. And I think we all know how much patience Gruden seems to have for guys with injuries. And I think one option the Raiders could do to kind of delay the decision is if Richard's foot injury is going to cost him more time. All we know right now is that he's out indefinitely, whatever that actually means. But if Richard's foot injury is going to take a while to heal, and it's going to take at least 6 weeks, they could put him on PUP, which means he wouldn't be eligible to play until week 7. And that way they can kind of delay it and see how Ragus does against better competition and see kind of make the decision from there. But I would honestly be surprised if Jalen Richard ends up making the team over Trey Ragus. I feel like Ragus has earned it. And right now you can't count on Jalen Richard. And I mean, I will say that, you know, regardless of how you feel about the vaccination rules, the rules are the rules that the NFL have set. And if Jalen Richard refuses to get vaccinated, that's his choice. But guess what? That also makes it a lot more difficult for you to be able to stay on the field with the way the rules are in place. And I think with Coach Gruden, I mean, all that guy cares about is football. And if you're a guy that you're a fringe player on the roster and you could be putting the team at risk, I don't know how much patience he's going to have for that. And again, all this is we'll see at this point, but I don't think things are looking good right now for Jalen Richard. Next up is going to be wide receivers, and this is one that I think will actually happen. And I think John Brown ends up getting cut tomorrow. Now, John Brown has played in the preseason. He's been targeted 3 times, had 1 drop, and 1 catch for 2 yards. Not exactly what you're hoping for. And again, you know, he's a veteran. I know people will point to the fact that he was signing. He was kind of a big signing. He was their big wide receiver signing this offseason for the Raiders. But from everything that I've heard in camp is that Willie Snead has been outperforming John Brown. And I will say from yesterday is Willie Snead dressed as an emergency player and John Brown obviously played. So that should kind of tell you where those two guys kind of stand. I think Brown is far, or I think Snead is way far ahead of Brown right now. And I think with that 6th wide receiver spot, what's going to matter, what I was talking about with Dylan Stoner and DJ Turner, is special teams. So with Brown being an older player, that's not really much of a special teams contributor. He's not a kick returner. I don't even know if he's ever done that in his career, maybe way back in the day, but certainly not anytime recently. And I just think that with the special teams and how important that's going to be, John Brown might be a better receiver right now than a DJ Turner or a Dylan Stoner. But Dylan Stoner and DJ Turner can play on special teams, whereas Brown can't. And when you're talking about a guy that maybe gets 25 targets on the year, something like that, at 6th wide receiver spot, you got to go with the guy that can contribute on the field. And that's right now is Dylan Stoner or DJ Turner. And I think we're going to see Brown get let go. Maybe they'll come up with some sort of trade with him, maybe get like a late round pick. But yeah, I don't think John Brown's going to play a regular season game for the Raiders. I'm not going to spend too much time on tight ends because I think this is going to be a position where it's all chalk, right? Everybody that we think is going to make the team is going to, and that's going to be Darren Waller, Foster Moreau, and Derek Carrier. The one guy that could be a potential surprise, I think, would be Carrier. Obviously, Waller's not going anywhere. Moreau is, you know, kind of the breakout candidate for the team this year. And then Carrier is just kind of like that guy that's been, you know, the 3rd or 4th guy on the roster for the last few years. And, you know, maybe they want to go a little bit younger. And I think maybe Nick Bowers will take his spot. But again, I have a hard time seeing that. You know, if we are in for a surprise, that would kind of be the one that I'd say to look out for. And that would be basically, you know, Bowers over Carrier. But again, I would be surprised if that happens. Very surprised, I should say, if that happens. Next up is going to be offensive tackle, and I think the surprise would be is if they carried 3, right? If they cut Jared Jones-Smith and Devery Hamilton. You know, Patrick Omame, he got moved back to guard this week. He might have played a little bit on the outside at tackle. I think he started the game at tackle, but I'm considering him a guard at this point moving forward. Obviously, like I said at the top, both those guys, Jones-Smith and Devery Hamilton, have struggled in pass protection. You know, talked about the Raiders' 4th offensive tackle, and I think, you know, it's funny. The Raiders want to approach this as we're just trying to fill a number or reach a certain number, or do we want to actually keep 4 offensive tackles that are competent NFL offensive tackles? If it's the latter and they don't find, or they're trying to find 4 competent offensive tackles, I don't think that 4th one is on the roster like I've talked about. So I think those 2 could be gone, and that would kind of be my surprise is if the Raiders ended up keeping 3 tackles. And I don't think that'd be the terrible strategy. I think obviously you can move out Denzel Good in a push or in a pinch if you really needed to. And Patrick Omame, maybe. I mean, I guess he could stand out there. I mean, obviously, as I'm sure you guys have heard me talk about, I might have a little heart attack if that happens. But I think we could definitely easily see the Raiders keeping 3 and, you know, using Denzel Good and Brandon Parker as kind of the backup tackles and then kind of filling the roster with another offensive guard there. Interior offensive line is another position that I'm going to kind of gloss over here because I don't expect too many surprises or any surprises really coming from this position group. But the one that potentially could be a surprise would be Nick Martin. The biggest thing here would be is if the Raiders are confident in Andre James, they think he's going to be the guy because Nick Martin was really brought in just kind of be the insurance plan in case Andre James doesn't work out, right? Obviously an inexperienced center, so you bring in a veteran backup in case of an emergency. So, but I don't 100% think that would happen. I think Jimmy Morrissey would have had to outplay Martin in the preseason. I don't think either guy's, you know, look special or anything like that, but I think Martin is definitely ahead of where Morrissey is, and I think Morrissey will end up on the practice squad, which is nothing to be ashamed about as a seventh-round pick. But let's say the Raiders do want to go with a youth movement at the center position, then I think you could find Nick Martin on the chopping block, and then maybe they end up going with that seventh-round pick anyway. All right, defensive end, and I'm going to steal the surprise here from Vic Taffer, and it's technically not going to be a cut because I don't think this guy ends up getting cut cap-wise. But Vic Taffer tweeted out at the end of the Niners game basically saying, if teams call about Klee, he included John Brown in the tweet too, but we'll ignore that for now. But if teams call about Cleveland Farrell, what do the Raiders say? And I think, you know, if that's going to happen, if we're going to see a surprise from this position group, it would be that. Not cutting Cleveland Farrell, because cutting him would actually cost the Raiders salary cap and wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, because I do think Cleveland Farrell is the third best defensive end on this team. Obviously, that's not what you're hoping for from a number four overall pick. But, I mean, at this point, you got to just kind of play the guy with what he is. And I think he does have a defined role in this team. But then again, if teams start calling about him, teams might want to use him as a starter. I think the Raiders do have to pick up the phone, and I think they could end up moving him. And that would be the kind of the biggest sort of shocking news coming out of Raiderland tomorrow when it comes to the defensive end. Though I don't know how much of a market there is going to be for Cleveland Farrell. He's going to be a free agent pretty soon, in the next, I guess, after next year. And, you know, has been kind of disappointing and has a bad stigma around him right now. So I'd be surprised if a team wanted to trade for him. But that's the one thing to look out for from the defensive ends for the Raiders. At defensive tackle, there's another surprise cut that I think might actually happen, and I think that's going to be Solomon Thomas. Now, I'll be honest, I might be a little biased here. I was never a big fan of the Solomon Thomas signing, especially when they cut Mo Hurst in the corresponding move. But with Solomon Thomas, I mean, the problem with him in San Francisco was that he was too small to play three technique and then not athletic enough to play on the edge. Well, early on in camp, the Raiders coaching staff apparently found out that they thought he was too small to play three tech. Now, some of you might be sitting there screaming, well, you probably could have figured that out on your own, but that's neither here nor there, and, you know, kind of a mute point at this point. Moving forward, though, I think if you look at what Gerald McCoy's done, Quentin Jefferson is a Gus Bradley guy and has played well as a pass rusher in the past, and you had Darius Falon have a pretty good game in the preseason, and Solomon Thomas was pretty quiet. I think there's a legitimate chance Solomon Thomas doesn't end up making the roster, right? I mean, the Raiders might play him at defensive end, but they already have five guys there unless Cleveland Farrell ends up getting traded. So I just don't know where Solomon Thomas ends up fitting in. And even if he is on the team, I don't really see him having much of a role. So why not give somebody else a shot? I mean, we'll see what happens, but I would not be shocked to see Solomon Thomas on the chopping block tomorrow. Linebacker is where things are going to get really interesting, and I think a lot of people might get a little mad with my potential surprise cut and the guy who I think might actually end up getting cut, and that's going to be Nick Kwiatkowski. When I look at this Raiders linebacker core, you know, they've kept five every year of the Gruden era. You know, I think even, what was it, 2019, I think initially they kept four and then ended up bringing Kyle Wilbert back, but the Raiders are continuing to run more nickel personnel. I think they've talked about that extensively with Gus Bradley as well. So I don't know if the Raiders are going to keep more than five linebackers again. Now, the caveat will be if Nick Morrow's injury is significant enough, they could put him on PUP, and then I think Kwiatkowski is safely on the roster. But if he's not, and they do want to keep Morrow on the active roster, and they're only going to keep five linebackers, I mean, you have Corey Littleton, he's going to make the team. Tanner Muse, who I'm pretty sure is going to make the team. Denzel Perryman was just acquired and is kind of a similar player as Kwiatkowski, so I think he's going to make the team. Obviously, Morrow would be on the team. And then it comes down to Divine Diablo, Nick Kwiatkowski, and Javon White. And, I mean, I'll be honest, like, that is a tough-ass decision to make. And where I'm looking at it is I kind of think, you know, if you cut Kwiatkowski, at least with him, you don't have to risk him getting picked up on waivers like you would with Divine Diablo or Javon White. With Javon White, since they're younger players, they'd have to go off waivers. And especially with Javon White, who's had a great preseason, if you cut him, another team could easily come in and swoop him up, and then the Raiders are SOL. With Kwiatkowski, it's still a risk because you're going to cut the guy and he will be a free agent, but you can kind of come to a little under-the-table or handshake agreement of, hey, we're gonna cut you, but that's just so we can put somebody maybe like a Javon White or a Nicholas Morrow on injured reserve so that we can give them an injury designation and don't have to risk losing them. Obviously, there's the risk of, you know, Nick Morrow not being exactly thrilled with that and wanting to go play somewhere else. Nick Wachowski wanted to go somewhere else. But I think that is really an option that the Raiders can explore. You know, they did it in 2019, I think, again, with Josh Morrow. And I think Wachowski, it could be a similar situation where they end up maybe cutting him and then bringing him back, or just cutting him completely. Like I said, Denzel Perryman has a similar skill set. You know, Kukowski's probably a little bit better in coverage, whereas Perryman's the better run defender. But between Littleton, you know, and Muse and Divine Diablo and even Morrow, those are kind of your coverage linebackers. So what the Raiders are looking for are maybe that guy in the middle that could be that thumper and the run defender. And if Perryman has that same skill set, and Kukowski's been injured for the last 2 or 3 weeks, maybe three is a little dramatic, but it's at least been two. Well, I think you got to go with the guy that you just acquired and the guy that, you know, does have some familiarity playing with Gus Bradley. And I mean, I legitimately think, you know, Kukowski could be on the chopping block. And I mean, I think we're due for a surprise in this position group, no matter what. It's a group full of a lot of guys that are solid to good players. Nobody that's a real standout. And so many injuries just makes this complicated, because if you put the guy on IR now, you're going to end his season, or you're going to have to have him make the roster and take up a roster spot, which could end up screwing you out of somebody else. So the linebacker is going to have a lot of drama, and I think it'll be right up to the deadline until the Raiders make that decision. So it'll be on the edge of our seats for a while when it comes to the LBs. Moving on to safety, and I think this is another position that gets a little complicated with the numbers, right? Last year they kept three. I think they'll keep four this year. If they do keep three, then I think they'll keep an extra linebacker and Kukowski will be safe. But I have a feeling they're going to go with four. And I think Trevon Merrick, Jonathan Abram, those guys are hands down on the roster. And I think Tyree Gillespie's going to make it. And I think Dallin Levin's going to make it as well, just because of what he's able to bring on special teams. Which leads me to believe that Carl Joseph and Roderick Teamer is going to be the cuts. The biggest surprises coming from there is going to be Carl Joseph, obviously. And when it comes to Carl Joseph, he's a guy that I've liked a lot, a guy I liked when the Raiders drafted him back in, what was it, 2016 or whatever. And, you know, he's been, when he's been on the field, I think he's been a good player. But the problem is, I think he's been off of it more than he's been on it. And even this year, he's dealt with a lot more injuries and dealt with injuries in training camp already. And again, I keep saying it, keep harping on it, we all know how much patience John Gruden has for injuries, and I think that's ultimately going to cost him, as well as not being able to play special teams. If special teams aren't as important as I'm thinking, or maybe Tyree Gillespie is going to be the special teams contributor from this group, then maybe Carl Joseph gets the nod over Dallin Levitt, who, like I talked about last week, doesn't bring much as an actual defender. So, we'll, again, you know, you're going to hear me keep saying, we'll see what happens, but I would not be surprised to see Carl on the outside of the Raiders roster tomorrow. Wrapping things up with cornerback, and I mean, I don't really think this one is going to be much of a surprise anymore, but it's Nevin Lawson. Now, the Raiders do get some help because Nevin Lawson is suspended and they can't cut him, but at the same time, he doesn't count towards the roster count or anything like that, so it's not, you know, that big of a deal for these first 2 weeks, and the Raiders, you know, they get to see what Nate Hobbs look like in the first 2 weeks to see if they want to bring back Lawson or not. But I'll tell you, I think Nate Hobbs has just taken his position. I think I talked about that last week, too. I think Nate Hobbs has earned earned the starting slot cornerback spot. And, I mean, yesterday for Lawson, I think, put the nail in the coffin. It felt like, and I don't think they were because it was a preseason game, but it felt like the 49ers were targeting Lawson. Like, they had a game plan of, like, yeah, once 26 is on the field, just throw at him. Like, he gave up a few catches, and he got the benefit of a few drops as well. And I mean, it was just an ugly game for him. And it's a guy that, you know, he's a veteran player. He is what he is at this point. And I don't know if you can really expect anything more from him. So I got a feeling that Nevin Lawson's days as a Raider are over. And even when his suspension is up in week 3, I don't know if he'll be back on the team. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Make sure you're following Silver and Black Pride if you're not already. And, of course, please follow me on Twitter as well, at mholder95. And please make sure to rate, review, and download all the episodes of Silver and Black Pride. We really appreciate that. You know, we're trying to grow the podcast here, and you guys are a big part of that. Appreciate all the support that we've gotten from you guys so far. And we're looking forward to getting to start talking some regular season next week. Let's go. Other than that, until next time.